KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy, 11 degrees above zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high near 45. In the news this hour, the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will hold a work session Monday evening in the High School Media Center with regard to the issuance of $19.959 million in bonds for capital improvement projects. The board will first receive petitions from the Atlantic School Improvement Committee, or ASIC, asking for a bond referendum before acting on passing a resolution setting the date for a special election on the issuance of bonds. The election will likely be held on April 1st. Earlier this week, members of ASIC, the Atlantic School Board, and others sat down with members of the local media to answer previously submitted questions with regard to the bond election that the public has posed to the media. That information will be forthcoming after the board makes its decision Monday night on approving the special election. During the board's meeting in December, they chose from two concepts to deal with increased enrollment and what they feel would offer the best opportunities for education. The first would have cost a little more than $8 million. Instead, they chose the second, more costly option based on a recommendation from Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein, who said the proposal was based on input from faculty, staff, administrators, school board discussions, and input from the community. Among other things, the bond, if approved, would allow for the construction of four new classrooms on the northeast side of the Washington Elementary School, which will provide space for the two preschool classes currently in place at the old Lincoln Building, as well as space for the special education classroom. The addition of a new middle school building for grades 7 and 8 next to the Atlantic High School, the construction of eight new classrooms on the west side wings of the high school, and expansion and renovation of the Industrial Technology and Agricultural Extension Lab. Other action items during this coming Monday night's meeting of the Atlantic School Board work session include approval of personnel recommendations and a payment for the Spanish trip. Discussion items during the session include talks with Design Alliance architect Jerry Purdy with regard to the new junior high drawings and model, the fiscal year 2015 budget, and board long-term goals. The meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. again on Monday. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Well, following a study by Snyder & Associates engineering firm in Atlantic of the street conditions in the city, Street Superintendent Daryl Anderson and Snyder's Dave Sturm created a list of priorities for fixing the worst streets. City Administrator Doug Harris told the City Council during their meeting Wednesday night there are six sections of streets in the proposed improvement program which need to have an asphalt overlay this year and one section that needs to be reconstructed. The plan also calls for the seal coating of 52 blocks of streets.
The problem is without protecting that road surface from oxidizing and sealing the fine cracks and water getting down, the road deteriorates very quickly. And we just don't have the money, you know, to just let the roads go and then rebuild them. So in order to try to preserve the quality of our streets, they've looked at roads that they feel like by doing the seal coating, and also on an experimental program, they're going to do 10 blocks with what's a micro seal. It's a little bit thicker. There's not as much dust and stuff. It's a little more expensive. They want to see how that works.
Roads selected for the micro seal, Harris said, should be good for 10 years before any milling and overlay is needed.
The total of these projects comes to an estimate of $945,000.
Harris said the city has options when it comes to bidding out the overlay projects. He said because the current contract the city has with PCS Concrete and its asphalt subcontractor Henningsen Construction is not yet complete, the city could ask for a change order which allows the price to be held, but the engineering for the added projects would still need to be done. Harris expects to gather additional information for presentation during their next meeting and possible vote. And during his report to the council, Doug Harris was asked by Mayor Dave Jones if there would be a sewer rate increase this year, to which Harris replied no. The city of Atlantic may be forced to refund to the state more than $183,800 in Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, funds it received for the rehabilitation of 13 homes because the full grant amount has not yet been spent. That was the word during Wednesday night's city council meeting from SWPCO Representative Dave Riedemann. In his status report, Riedemann said the city received $484,500 in grants last year for the rehab program. The city contributed in-kind funds amounting to $26,000 for a total amount of funds available of $510,500. So far, all but $183,809 has been spent. 8 of the 13 homes have been completed, with the remaining 5 in various stages of completion.
We have submitted a request to the state for a 6-month extension and permission to rehab 3 additional homes due to the fact that we are going to have leftover money after doing the original 13 that we were contracted to do, quite a bit actually, probably 115 to 125,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
That would bring the total number of homes assisted to 16 if the state grants permission for the city to do so. Riedemann said up until this past Monday, that seemed like a sure thing.
Last year in Iowa.
He said that a similar extension was asked for in Shenandoah, but it was denied, which Riedemann said was a first for SWPCO. He said that things are tightening up at the state level and changes have been made in how the CDBG program is implemented. Some of the changes will apparently be retroactively applied. He said he's hopeful the state will grant a time extension for expenditure of the funds and completion of 3 more homes, but that's hard to predict. The funds must be used by the end of April. If not, more than $100,000 will have to be returned to the state. Regardless, Riedemann said the original 13 houses will be completed as planned. HUD says that SWPCO can't expend overall more than $37,500 per house, including lead abatement. Hard costs cannot exceed $25,000 if there is no lead removal needed. Most of the work typically involves the installation of vinyl siding to enclose lead-based paint, vinyl replacement windows for energy efficiency, high-efficiency furnaces and air conditioning, updated electrical and plumbing, and special needs alterations as needed and as funds allow. Well, the new chief executive officer of the Cass County Health System is spending his first week on the job. Todd Hudspeth began his duties on Monday. As you may recall, he was hired to succeed retiring Pat Markham, whose last day on the job was last Friday. In a press release, Hudspeth said he's thrilled to be selected as the next CEO of the CCHS. Pat and her leadership team have done a tremendous job creating an excellent health system. And Hudspeth says he's excited to work with the board, leadership, and entire hospital team to continue to make the Cass County Health System a great place for patients, employees, and physicians. Ned Brown, chairman of the CCMH Board of Trustees, said Hudspeth brings over 15 years of success as a CEO in critical access hospitals. Hudspeth most recently served as the president and CEO of the Jamestown Regional Medical Center, a 25-bed regional hospital in Jamestown, North Dakota. Prior to Jamestown, he was the CEO at the Buena Vista Regional Medical Center in Storm Lake. He's also served as CEO at the Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. Hudspeth recently relocated to Atlantic. His wife Jessica and 2 of their 5 sons will move to town at the end of the school year. Those boys will be in 6th and 4th grades next fall. And Todd Hudspeth says the Cass County Health System is providing a $1,000 health career scholarship again this year. The award is available for a student studying to become a healthcare professional. Applicants must be accepted to or currently enrolled in a health career education program leading to at least a bachelor's degree. Applications are available at area high school guidance offices, the Human Resources Office at the Cass County Hospital, and on the hospital's website at casshealth.org. Hudspeth said the scholarship is an opportunity for them to give back to the people of Southwest Iowa, and they welcome the opportunity to encourage students from the area in their educational endeavors. Applications for the Cass County Health System Scholarship are due in by April 1st. For more information, you can contact Sarah Nelson, CCMH Public Relations Director, at 712-243-7408. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, state police plan to discuss the massive pileup on an Indiana interstate later this morning. Meanwhile, work continues to remove wreckage on busy Interstate 94 that connects Chicago to Detroit. The eastbound lanes remain closed. 3 people died and more than 20 were injured in yesterday's accident, believed to be triggered by snow and whiteout conditions. Syria's government is threatening to bolt from peace talks in Switzerland. The delegation has handed an ultimatum to a UN mediator, vowing to leave if serious talks do not begin tomorrow or by tomorrow on ending the country's civil war. The first face-to-face talks scheduled for today were canceled, and the UN mediator decided to meet separately with both sides in the contentious talks. Secretary of State John Kerry is calling suggestions of disarray in the Obama administration's Middle East policy a myth. Kerry met this morning with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for about 90 minutes on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Officials say a speech later will counter critics. And North Korea appears to be continuing a recent charm offensive, agreeing to resume reunions of families separated by the Korean War. A year ago, Pyongyang was threatening South Korea and Washington with nuclear war. Seoul has so far been wary, although it's welcomed the initiative. Outreach by Pyongyang has frequently been followed by provocation. News time is 8:11.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Sandy Brown, age 72 of Avoca, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Sandra Sandy Brown will be today at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Patrick McCorkle, age 53 of Adair, died Monday in Des Moines. No services are planned, but a gathering of friends and family of Patrick McCorkle will be this evening from 5 until 8 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Elsie South, age 87 of Atlantic, died Tuesday at CCMH. No services are planned for Elsie South, but a visitation with her family will be held from 10 a.m. until 11:30 tomorrow at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Delphine Jensen, age 84 of Greenfield, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Services for Delphine Jensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Dorothy Mashing, age 83 of Carroll, died Wednesday. A massive Christian burial service for Dorothy Mashing will be on Saturday at 10:30 at Holy Spirit Church in Carroll. Odie Twitt Funeral Home of Carroll has arrangements. Greta Teresa Ulrich, age 80 of Atlantic, died Monday in Omaha. Funeral services for Greta Ulrich will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Phyllis Bax, age 78 of Greenfield, died Monday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Phyllis Bax will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Dean Orstad, age 58 of Griswold, died Monday at his home. Memorial services for Dean Orstad will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. And Philip Pollard, age 71 of Fontenelle, died Thursday. Funeral services for Philip Pollard will be Monday at 1:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.